Happy Sunday, everybody. Hope everyone has had a great weekend thus far. I am Jeremy Birmingham. That's Andrew Ellis. This is Talking Stuff, the Ohio State recruiting podcast on the podcast. Andrew did not have a great weekend. We were going to do this show on Friday, but then Andrew decided to go to the hospital and have an organ removed. And so kudos to you for understanding your body and knowing that when some sharp pain is happening in your stomach, maybe there's a problem. But also, hell, man, you're pretty tough back on the saddle and back in the chair on Talking Stuff like 24 hours after having a body part removed. How are you feeling, Andrew?
I'm doing well. You know, I was looking forward to talking to you on Friday, and then I guess my appendix had other plans. So Friday afternoon, I had an appendix, and we sit here now. I no longer have one, but fortunately, that is not an organ that is required, so I am told. So I'm doing well, though. I'm okay.
Did you ask them, like, before this happened, like, hey, what does this thing do? Why is it okay to just remove an appendix?
I did, and they had no way of answering. They said, like, medical professionals have been, like, stumped as to, like, why it's even there for a long time. And then I looked it up, and I couldn't find an answer online. So I don't have it anymore, though, and I guess that's okay. So here we are.
Did they put it in a jar and some formaldehyde?
No. No, like 2 hours from like 8 to like 10 o'clock on Friday night is kind of a blur to me. That's when I went under the anesthesia. But I would have loved to bring it home and kind of keep it as like a memento or something.
Yeah, that's a great movie, by the way, Memento.
That is very, very. It's one of Chris Nolan's more underrated ones, I would say.
That's true. Friends call him Chris, and yeah. I appreciate you doing that. Let's talk football recruiting. It's been a busy week. We didn't do this earlier in the week. I was out of town most of the week, going around Ohio, looking at different the Ohio recruiting showcases. So that's why this show didn't happen early in the week. But I think it's probably for the best, because it was Thursday night when Blake Woodby from Baltimore decommitted from Ohio State, something we've been talking about on the show for the last couple of weeks. And DeCorian Moore, the five-star wide receiver from Duncanville High School in Texas, decommitted from LSU, then immediately said he's not reopening his recruitment. He's just focusing on the schools that he had already been focusing on. So the newer or anyone else around the country that was trying to get involved shouldn't waste their time. It's Ohio State, it's Texas, and it's Oregon. Those are the three schools that will get official visits from DeCorian Moore. His first one will be at Ohio State. That's going to be next weekend, the 28th or whatever, 29th. I don't know exactly the date, but it's the last weekend of May, and it's Ohio State's first recruiting official visit weekend of the year. So pretty important, I guess, Andrew. You know, we talked about DeCorian Moore, a month and a half ago, and said like that we thought, it seemed like LSU was probably running fourth on the list at the time, but then there was a lot of conversation about what DeCorian was telling people at, you know, 7-on-7 events or track and field events. Like, oh, I'm 100% committed to LSU. Everyone knew that there was obviously a reason that he was visiting other schools. I think the interesting part from here is that people are going to just straight up assume it's going to be Texas and crystal balls and RPMs and future casts and all that stuff started rolling towards Texas immediately after he decommitted from LSU. People I talked to said that they think maybe Oregon is a bigger threat than Texas. Some people thought, I don't know if that's true. I mean, it's basically like trying to read a thousand different tea leaves from a thousand different directions. Texas people, the Texas media seems to be totally unconcerned with Ohio State. And I think that's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. The Texas side of things has been adamant for a long while now that he's going to end up in Austin. And maybe that's the safe pick right now. Maybe Texas is the chalk choice. And I know he was supposed to be at Oregon this weekend, did not go to Oregon. But now, if I'm remembering correctly, Ohio State gets that May 31st official, and Oregon, I believe, is getting the last one with Texas kind of sandwiched in the middle there. So I don't know. He's my favorite receiver in the class. Kind of going to be a fascinating follow here over the next handful of months. I think when people saw that tweet about his recruitment not being reopened, they thought that just meant that he knows where he wants to go. But like you said, in reality, he's just got it down really to those three schools. So I don't know what to believe. I don't know if it's really Ohio State versus Oregon, or if it's Ohio State versus Texas, or I genuinely have no clue. He seems to be telling people different things, or maybe people are just kind of taking things the wrong way when he tells them stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. One thing seems clear. Oregon, I think, believes it's Oregon or Texas. Texas believes it's Texas or Oregon. Neither of them are worried about Ohio State, but Ohio State, who has hosted DeCorian Moore twice in the last 7 weeks and will host him for a third time, as we mentioned at the end of the month, the three visits in about a 9 week stretch is, I don't know how that wouldn't be concerning to someone. If like it's Ohio State and we're talking about a wide receiver here. It's not, and I get that Texas and Oregon, and this, I'm going to make this comparison and maybe it's wrong. I don't know. Over the last couple of years, especially in the early part of NIL, it seemed to me that like Georgia and Alabama would be very aggressive going after players Ohio State wanted or Ohio State was recruiting or Ohio State had committed, because they felt like Ohio State is not going to stop us from getting what we want, because Ohio State's going to, they're not going to be able to keep up with us in the arms race. And now you look at Texas and Oregon, and I think that those two schools, even more so than Georgia right now, but we will talk about Georgia a little bit later, but those two schools with Steve Sarkisian, the Alabama protege, and Dan Lanning, the Georgia protege, I think are just taking that same tact. They're like, hey, we'll just take whoever Ohio State's recruiting, we'll just go at them because we'll outpay and overpay and Ohio State won't compete. And I think in a lot of cases, maybe that's correct, but when it comes to like the number one receiver in the country, and again, underline that word receiver, like the Ohio State receiver recruiting is pretty good last I checked. And I'm not sure that it makes a lot of sense to write them off, especially considering they get that first official visit next weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I think writing Ohio State off is just a silly thing to do. But like you said, the Ohio State NIL game is far better than it was a year ago, or it's constantly improving. Oregon and Texas are no slouches when it comes to NIL. I mean, we saw Ohio State fight off Miami last year for Jeremiah Smith. And I'm not saying that DeCorian Moore is in Jeremiah Smith's category, because Jeremiah Smith is one of those rare guys. But I think this is the best receiver in the class. Brian Hartline has got his hands on that one very much. I don't know if I love getting the first official visit, but sometimes the order of those don't really matter. But either way, three trips to Ohio State in a matter of 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever, that's pretty important.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, and we'll jump around here, because when you look at DeCorian Moore with the wide receiver situation at Ohio State, it does seem to be evolving a little bit. You know, there was a lot of conversation earlier in this week about Vernell Brown and maybe Ohio State's fourth, or maybe they're running behind all the Florida schools all of a sudden after everyone, crystal balled him to the Buckeyes a month and a half ago. Jamie French not wanting to take an official visit to Ohio State in the summer, and maybe he's falling down the board. Talen Taylor, the wide receiver from Illinois, is he a target actually for Ohio State, or is it, you know, is he plan B? Is Georgia or Notre Dame the favorite there? He came out this week and said he's going to commit to Ohio State, Notre Dame, or Georgia. So like people are having to try and figure out the alignment for Brian Hartline. Same with a guy like Quincy Porter in New Jersey, like there, or Philip Bell in California. There's a lot of guys on the board, and it seems like, and I saw Steve Wiltfong from On Three earlier this week said as much, like it seems like a lot of wide receivers are kind of waiting to see who ends up at Ohio State before they make their own plans. But to be clear, like I do not believe for a second that Ohio State has fallen out of the top position with Vernell Brown. I just don't think so. He's taking his official visit, I think, the first weekend also. So the same weekend DeCorian Moore will be there. I do believe, and I said as much 2 months ago, and I got a lot of people in my face about it, because I said I thought maybe Jamie French would not end up at Ohio State because I thought that he wanted to wait this out longer than maybe Ohio State would be willing to wait. And it seems like more and more that conversation is coming to fruition. If he doesn't visit Ohio State this summer, whether it's officially or unofficially, I don't know that there will be a spot, because guys like Quincy Porter, because DeCorian Moore, because Vernell Brown, because of Talen Taylor, I don't know that there will be a spot if he keeps waiting. So the wide receiver room is very interesting. And I know you specifically, it drives you crazy that Ohio State took a commitment from three-star Desi Jones, because you don't understand why they would, you know, do that with all these other guys on the board. But Brian Hartline is not, I don't think, in a position where he's going to be waiting until October to pick up his receivers if these other guys want to commit. Like, you can't tell Vernell Brown no. You can't tell Quincy Porter no, or Ja'Cory Moore no. Or so I don't know. I just don't know how Jamie French ends up in the class, considering the timeline aspect of things.
Yeah, and I didn't really mean that as a slight to Desi Jones or anything. I was just kind of surprised that he was the first one to really come into the class, besides Javon Boggs, obviously, who's no longer committed. But Brian Hartline knows what he's doing and knows more about receivers than I can ever imagine or even dream of knowing. But yeah, I don't know. I was kind of surprised when the Jamie French reports came out suggesting Ohio State wasn't in the top three or whatever for him. Kind of made me wonder if maybe Hartline was kind of gently shoving him, asking him to kind of, you know, announce something sooner rather than later. And maybe he just doesn't want to do that. And maybe that's kind of why things have soured there. Or maybe those reports are all just smoke screens and just total BS. I would say that's probably the more likely. But yeah, and then a lot of people now thinking Vernell Brown's going to stay in the state of Florida, whichever school, I don't know, but you seem to think otherwise. And then a guy like Quincy Porter, it's probably going to be Ohio State or Michigan. Yeah. He would be like the top right receiver in Michigan. I'm assuming he'd be one of the better receivers Michigan's pulled over the last several years. Whereas with Ohio State, you know, he'd be down the totem pole a little bit, even though he is a hell of a player.
Yeah. I've been told to maybe kind of watch for Alabama when it comes to Quincy Porter. That coaching staff obviously had a really good run with wide receivers at Washington. And I think they're, you know, Ohio State obviously is always going to tell kids, hey, you know, Marvin Harrison. And now they're saying, hey, Romo Dunze. Like, they're saying that. I wouldn't be surprised if Washington or if Alabama gets really into the mix there and maybe throws a little bit of a wrench into the plans for Michigan, and potentially puts Ohio State in a position where that timeline or the spot doesn't end up being there for Quincy, because other guys are going to make some decisions. I do expect Vernell Brown to make a decision by the end of like middle of July. Sorry. So a lot of this stuff is going to sort itself out over the next 6 weeks. And if it does, and there's still a spot, for Jamie French, then I think we can revisit this conversation and go back to say, hey, okay, now you can wait. Now you can be patient. But I think it's much more likely that we're going to get to a point in June where Brian Hartline is going to be making phone calls to people like Talon Taylor or Philip Bell or Jamie French and saying, I've got three guys. I need one more. Who wants it? And then you see what happens from there. So it's going to be interesting. He's obviously the only coach at Ohio State that has been so consistently great on the recruiting trail that these are problems that he has. I mean, it's not something that other coaches have problems with. Go back to Blake Woodby, just to put a bow on that. Again, we talked about him potentially leaving the class first, 3 weeks ago or so. This is not a surprise. Ohio State has been aware that this was a possibility even back from like October when he did commit. So the first name I was told when I caught wind of this happening was Jameer Joseph, a defensive back from New Jersey. He released a top five on Friday, so the 16 hours after Blake would be officially decommitted, and Ohio State's not in it. And the Buckeyes, this is the problem when you know a kid may not end up in your class, but you don't move fast enough to get a decision made. Other kids may not feel like they're a priority. And so now Ohio State's going to have to figure out if they can get back into the mix for a guy like Jameer Joseph. If this reopens the door for Dorian Brew a little bit, which, I saw on Twitter on Saturday, Dorian Brew was at a workout with Devin Sanchez on Saturday. Like, they're still talking. I would say like a week ago, I would have put the odds of Dorian Brew ending up in the Ohio State class like very low, like 20%. Maybe this bumps it to 35-40% if they now have a different path that they need to take, because Joseph is not really going to be interested. So, Andrew, when you lose a top 40 overall prospect, as Blake Woodby is on Rivals.com, in a recruiting class, normally that's like a huge deal. And like, it seems like everyone's like, eh, okay, whatever. Why? Is it just because Naeem Offord and Devin Sanchez are so good? Or is it because no one expected this one to stick from the start?
I mean, I think it's both, honestly. Like, you've got the two top corners in the country committed, two of those longer type of cornerbacks that we love and adore so much. And then this kid, good player, like we've talked about many times, just not been the most healthy. Hasn't been on the field a ton. A smaller guy, more of like a nickel type. And those guys are important, obviously, especially with all the passing that goes on these days. But with Dorian Brew still out there and some other options. And I know Dorian Brew is not the same type of player as Blake Woodby. Like, Woodby's probably more of a slot corner, and Brew's probably an outside corner or a safety. But I mean, as long as you have Devin Sanchez and Naeem Offord, you're in a pretty good spot there at cornerback, I would say.
Yeah. And that's what makes this weekend's visit to Oregon for Naeem Offord so interesting, because again, Oregon is becoming quite a pain in the butt for Ohio State. Naeem Offord and Justin Hill both out in Eugene this weekend for the duck hunt or whatever it is. You know what? I am so sick and tired, so tired of coaches leaving a school and then going somewhere else and just doing all of the exact same things that school did. Can we get a little bit original? You've got your scavenger hunt, duck hunt, the same weekend that Georgia's doing their scavenger hunt. Like, you just took exactly what they were doing and said, oh, we're going to invite everyone. Funny story. There was a player who a couple weeks ago told me they were going out to Oregon for this trip. And they were like, I wasn't planning on going anywhere else in the month of May. But Oregon persuaded me and my parents to go. And like, the word persuaded just felt so bizarre and so like obvious as to how this persuasion is happening. But now it's legal. Anything goes. So anyway, big weekend for the Ducks. Justin Hill, again, and Naeem Offord, the two biggest names from an Ohio State perspective out there. Oregon is also the team that has been up until recently really going after Devin Sanchez the hardest. So they're pretty annoying. And that's why, you know, a couple weeks ago, I talked with Doug LeMaurice and Bill Landis on Kings of Columbus about Oregon. And this week we talked about Georgia, because Georgia is hosting TJ Alford, David Sanders, Bo Jackson, Trey McNutt. Like, this is a big weekend for the Bulldogs as they start to try to crank up their recruiting machine heading into the summer. I think they're the number 7 ranked class or something right now. I would be shocked if they don't move up in the next couple of days, because they'll definitely get a few commitments out of this. But from an Ohio State perspective, it's Trey McNutt, it's Bo Jackson, who's there on his official visit, David Sanders taking an unofficial visit, TJ Alford taking an unofficial visit. So David Sanders visits this weekend, and he'll be back in Georgia for his official over the June 7th weekend. And the Bulldogs, who seemed for all intents and purposes to be out of the running for David Sanders 2 weeks ago, now you start to get a little bit nervous, because Georgia has the ability to make you nervous.
Yeah, Georgia always has the ability to make you nervous. Even with a guy like TJ Alford, who seems pretty solid in his commitment to Ohio State, loves James Laurinaitis. But when Georgia's getting a defender of that caliber on campus, I mean, that's cause for concern in itself. Haven't heard Georgia mentioned a ton with Trey McNutt, but Georgia's, like I said, defensive players, that's always going to cause some concern. But yeah, David Sanders is the big one. I would have liked him to not make this visit and have Georgia be down maybe towards the 4 or 5 spot on his list, with no chance to really move up until that official. So not a huge fan of that visit happening, but I still would say Georgia's probably down the list a little bit behind Ohio State, Tennessee, maybe Clemson too. I don't know. Like, it seems like everybody's now mentioning Ohio State, but some people are saying Clemson, Ohio State. Some people are saying Tennessee and Ohio State, which if you're an Ohio State fan, you're the constant there. So at least that seems kind of promising, but I really, and he doesn't talk a lot, so I really am curious as to who is truly like top two on his list, I guess.
That's what makes this weekend so interesting. And then couple that with the Nebraska official visit he took last weekend. Like, I think Ohio State, you know, because they hosted David Sanders and his family again 3 weeks ago, like, maybe everyone else around the country is like, oh, we have a shot, let's get him back. And so now all of a sudden you're seeing these schools turn up the heat a little bit. With TJ Alford, again, James Laurinaitis and TJ Alford are like this. TJ told me straight up, like, Ohio State fans have nothing to worry about. but it's Georgia and you worry. And I know that there is at least a smattering of concern about the fact that some members in the Alford family were not really sold on him going out of the South for college anyway. And so it seems like maybe there's some directives being deployed by that segment of the, you know, the paternal, paternal universe saying, hey, let's keep exploring and taking looks. But I don't think that's what the kid himself actually wants. And so you respect your parents and you listen and you, you know, you're going to say, if parent A wants me to do this, I'm going to at least give it a look. And so you can appreciate that, but it's at the same time, like, it's not great for Ohio State because by no fault of their own, they're being somewhat pulled at, just because people are weird.
Yeah. And let me ask you, I mentioned some of these positions that you worry about with Georgia, which honestly is pretty much every position except for like wide receiver, probably. Bo Jackson, his first official visit, I posted on the board that I could see him possibly committing to Georgia. I don't know if that's going to happen. I was just kind of speculating based on some of the things one of my Georgia buddies told me. But and we've talked about it, but do you think they are legitimately like a threat to Ohio State for him? Because I sure do.
Absolutely. So is Alabama. I don't know why or where the concern level got raised to like, oh, he's going to commit this weekend. Like I don't have a great relationship with Bo, but it's good enough where I don't think, and he's not like a game player type kid. And he said all along, like he's going to take his official visits and then he'll decide. So I don't know where the concern about an immediate commitment came from. Maybe Georgia had been telling, you know, their media folks that they were going to crank up the heat this week and push for it. But Ohio State just, you know, they don't have a running back committed in this class. And Bo Jackson has been a favorite of Ryan Day's for a while. He's had a great relationship with Carlos Lachlan. But Ohio State wants three running backs in the class, and that is going to be held against them. So guys like Bo Jackson are going to have to make some decisions based on that. But even prior to the idea that there were going to be three backs in this class, you knew that they were going to take at least two. And Bo has been very clear that Alabama and Georgia were real contenders for him in this battle. That brings us to Isaiah West, who, you know, the Philadelphia St. Joe's prep running back who decommitted from Kentucky on Monday after his Ohio State visit last weekend. And immediately, again, every crystal ball started to turn towards Ohio State. The official visit set for May 4th or June 14th. Tentatively, there's one scheduled to Kentucky the week before. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I don't think that visit to Kentucky is going to end up happening. And I think Isaiah West will commit to Ohio State in June. But knowing that that's out there, that is ammunition, I guess, for Georgia to deploy against Ohio State on this trip. But I think Alabama is just as real a threat to Ohio State as Georgia is for Bo Jackson.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, I mean, Isaiah West, if you talk about like if you could create like calf muscles for a running back like that, he has those. He has the Saquon Barkley legs that just freaking look. I mean, they look like they're like photoshopped onto his body. Yeah, I'm interested.
He's 5'11", 210 pounds. Like, and it is a legitimate 210 pounds. Like, that is a rocked up high school running back.
Yeah, I guess all along I've kind of been thinking with Ohio State, like if they take Jordan Davison and they take Bo Jackson, maybe that third back would be more of like a hybrid type. I don't want to say scat back, but maybe something along those lines. And I don't think West is really that guy. Like if they take those three, first of all, it's a hell of a trio, but you got three like legit backs. Yeah. So, and you mentioned that Georgia could be using Isaiah West against Ohio State. Oregon's probably going to use Isaiah West against Ohio State too, in terms of Jordan Davison's recruitment, although they've got De'Aaron Hill committed too. So I don't know how that's going to go. But yeah, I hope they do take three. I really do. And I'd like to see Isaiah West be one of the three, honestly.
I'm going to say this, and it's not to suggest that I think that things are off with Bo Jackson, because I do think he'll still end up at Ohio State. I think that this is a cycle where even if Ohio State ends up with a 27-man class and maybe the number one ranked class in the country, like they're on pace for those things, right? I think that there is a real possibility that you're going to, obviously Marquise Davis is already committed to Kentucky. I think Bo Jackson could end up going out of Ohio. I think Trey McNutt very likely is not going to end up in the Ohio State class at this point. If I had to put a guess, I would not have Trey McNutt in the Ohio State class as of today. But like what you're going to see is Carlos Lachlan. Let's talk running back specifically. Like, he's going to find really good players, and the Buckeyes are very, very high on very, very high on Isaiah West, like very high. So at some point you just have to be super thrilled to land the players you land and not worry as much about the guys you don't. Make sure that the guys you get are the right guys. And then if guys in Ohio even go elsewhere, then so be it. But I think that Ohio State will replace anyone that they miss on in Ohio with a really good player. But again, I'm not saying that I think Bo Jackson's going to leave the state at this point, but you can't rule it out because he's been direct and honest about everything. And he told me from the very start, Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State were at the top of the list. So I believe that he would be direct in telling me otherwise. So that's that. Running back's weird. Wide receiver's weird. Offensive line is weird, Andrew. There's still only one commitment on the offensive line, Carter Lowe. Obviously, it's a pretty good one to have. He's like, you know, a five-star player. Rivals has him as the number 12 ranked player in the country. Buckeyes have David Sanders at the top of the board at tackle. And then there's just wide open spaces. And it seems like every day now we're adding new players to the list. And that's like great, I guess, because they've all set up official visits and they're all coming to town. And now there is a serious spotlight on Justin Fry over the next month to get some stuff done here. One thing we've talked about a couple of times in the last month on Talking Stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast brought to you by the podcast, was that, like, why would they only settle on three offensive linemen in this cycle? The good news is I think that's changed completely over the last couple of weeks. Talked to a number of people in the last 4 or 5 days, and the number now I think is going to be five. I think they're going to take five offensive linemen in this class, which allows you the opportunity to take two true tackles, one guard, one like swing guy, a guy who can play tackle or guard, and then a center. And the board, as I said, has expanded quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. Last weekend, Ohio State had two different offensive linemen on campus. I'm sorry, three different offensive linemen on campus. Andrew Stargell from Georgia, Henry Fanuku from Texas, and Jackson Lloyd from California. All three of those guys set up official visits to Ohio State. I think that Fanuku and Stargell specifically, I would probably put both of those guys in the Ohio State class as of today. Sunday, May 19th, I would have them in. And then Fanuku is a very high upside, high ceiling, athletic guard. He's kind of a developmental player, but extremely raw and extremely talented. And then Stargell is your traditional, you know, road grader center. And that means you have two other spots open that you're going to have to decide between a number of guys for. One of those spots you're holding for David Sanders. And so then you have one spot left. And then things get really weird because you have Javon McFadden, Joshua Blackston, Micah DeBose, Douglas Utu. Like, all those guys are going to take official visits to Ohio State. And, you know, I don't think you'd say no to any one of them if you're Justin Fry, because you can't risk the game of being played by someone who's silently committing or something like that. So it's going to be an interesting few weeks for the offensive line.
Yeah. And first things first, I am very much in favor of them casting a wider net, expanding the search, all that kind of stuff. I hated the talk we had briefly there about possibly only taking three, especially in what could be a 27, 28 man class.
Yeah.
So if you can just keep Carter Lowe, which obviously they will, add David Sanders, which would be the biggest commit of the entire cycle, and then just grab a couple of those interior guys, McFadden or Stargell or whomever, then, I mean, that would be a tremendous response from Justin Fry, because I know he's been criticized somewhat for some of the bigger misses he's had over the last couple cycles. So that'd be the dream scenario for me.
Yeah, and I think you could see movement pretty early in June. Maybe this is where things get just interesting, because David Sanders is not visiting till the 21st for his official visit of June 21st. Micah DeBose from Alabama, originally from Ohio, like I think everyone expects him to end up at Auburn or somewhere down south. Ohio State continues to make real inroads there by reminding him, like, hey, you're from Ohio. Like, you don't have to stay in the South. Like, he's coming up for his official visit. I think it's the June 14th weekend. And that's it's either the 7th or the 14th. I apologize for not being entirely clear on it. But that weekend that he's coming up is his sister's birthday. And, like, his grandparents are going to come down from Cleveland and visit. So, like, those are the types of things that Ohio State's like, hey, this is a different type of vibe for you. Javon McFadden is an early official visit. Stargell's an early official visit. Like, I think you could see Ohio State going into that last weekend of June, the last official visit weekend, where you're hoping to get David Sanders locked up, with Carter Lowe committed, Andrew Stargell committed, Javon McFadden committed, and maybe even Henry Finucu committed. And, like, that's going to be a huge weight off of the shoulders of Justin Fry if he can make that happen. But you also now have to worry about camp coming up here. So you have Louisville commit Jake Cook, who I fully expect to camp at Ohio State and to try to earn his offer. Nolan Davenport from Massillon, Washington, who is pretty good. I mean, we'll talk about him in a minute, I think, when we do the 4-minute offense. But watching him on Thursday night at Massillon High School, Massillon, Washington High School, like, I saw an offensive lineman that can play at Ohio State. So the Buckeyes always lean toward, the in-state player and giving a little preference to that guy. I want to know, and I'm interested to see more from Davenport at camp on June 5th when he comes to camp. If he can prove that he could be that swing guy, that tackle guard combo player, I don't see how you keep him out of the class. Number one, it's Massillon. Like, that is Ohio State, it's bread and butter. It's the backyard. Clearly great relationships there with Nate Moore and his staff. And so you do give a little preference to them. But if you decide to offer Davenport on the 5th with the weekend of the 7th starting 2 days later and having, I think, three different offensive linemen who are all in contention for that spot, all set to visit, like, you may end up having to change some things on the fly, because if Davenport gets offered, I would expect he'll take it very quickly.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Let me ask, we never really talked much about Henry Finucu, and if we did, maybe I've just forgotten.
Yeah, but like, it wasn't someone that we had to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, and then he visited, and then I think it was Steve Wiltfong actually that put in a pick for him to end up at Ohio State, and obviously we both respect Steve very much. I don't know. Was that just not on your radar at all until a week ago, or whenever it was he visited, or did that? It just seemed to all come about rather quickly, I guess. He's got some really good offers.
He's got really good offers. He's got really good athletic upside, but he's from Texas, and Justin Fry had visited him a few times over the last year. But then when a kid decides, hey, I'm taking a visit, that's when things get real. This is a kid whose parents, or his mother, I believe, is still in Nigeria. Like, he, very interesting life. Lives basically by himself, was a soccer player until 2 years ago, despite being 6'4", 295 pounds, like, freaky, freaky athlete. So when Ohio State got a chance to see him in person and get him on campus, then the discussion level changes rapidly. And quite frankly, I think he's going to be in the class. So if you see Stargell, who got offered 2 weeks ago, I think that's basically going to be an Ohio State and Kentucky battle. We'll see if the Buckeyes can hold off the Wildcats there. They don't normally consider themselves as recruiting against Kentucky, but it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. And again, with Davenport, I think that's one that what happens with Nolan Davenport is going to impact the rest of the offensive line recruiting more than anything else. He was really good on Thursday night when I saw him. Legitimate 6'6", probably about 280 pounds. He was 235 pounds at the same event a year ago. Like, looks like a totally different guy. but isn't nearly complete. Like as a player, as an offensive lineman, he's only been playing offensive line for 2 years. He was a tight end before that. He has not really like muscled up yet. He's just added weight, but still moves pretty well. He said he goes to like a dietitian. He goes to a nutritionist. He's doing everything he can to get that offer. I think he was slightly disappointed he didn't get it on Thursday night because he was that good in this combine setting. But Ohio State wants to see him play more football, which they'll do at camp on June 5th. So we're going to move into the 4-minute offense here. Andrew, I know your appendix hole is probably starting to your suture probably needs tending. So we'll try to move along. What else is on your mind as we wrap up this episode of Talking Stuff?
So this isn't one of the things I was planning on asking you, but you made a comment a bit ago that has compelled me to ask you. So you said as of now, you would not have Trey McNutt in the class. How do you see the safety class looking then when all is said and done? We've mentioned some of the big names for a while, and McNutt's been one of those names. But if you were to throw him out of that, what do you kind of see that looking like come December?
I don't want to throw him out of it. Let me say that. I don't want to throw him out of it. I think that it's just a situation where if I had to choose today, I don't think he would pick Ohio State. I think he's looking for different things. Not everyone wants to stay home, and I understand that. So obviously you have Cody Haddad committed. You have Deshaun Stewart committed. I still think Fahim Dulane will end up at Ohio State. And then I don't know. Maybe Jaden Hudson out from California. He's a guy that I could see in the class. The Buckeyes have backed pretty far off of Kainoa Winston from Washington, D.C., because he's a smaller safety, much like Cody Haddad is. So Cody kind of took his spot, I think. And then there's the Dorian Brew conversation. So maybe, again, you're looking at ways to compel Dorian Brew and his family to really fully examine Ohio State again. And I think the opportunity to come in and be someone who could play at safety or corner maybe could help do that. But we'll head into the summer and camp season and see who pops up. I mean, that's the way it's going to work. I'm not saying the Buckeyes are certainly not like backing off of Trey McNutt or anything like that. They want him in the class, but it's the vibe with Trey is just pretty clearly like he's all over the place. And I don't mean that like as a, you know, ephemeral, he's all over the place, man. I mean, like he's Oregon, Georgia, Texas A&M, like he's seeing everyone, Miami. Like this is a kid who has a ton of opportunities. He clearly is looking for, the type of, what's the way I want to say this? He's, you know, ranked the number one safety in the country, according to some folks. And I think he's expecting to be paid as such. And that's, Ohio State is not afraid to compete in NIL, but they also do expect or do believe that, you know, you're going to have to pick and choose where you're spending the majority of that money. And for an in-state player, an Ohio State legacy, you would think that you'd hope maybe you'd get a little bit of a hometown discount, but I think other schools are probably using that hometown discount approach against the Buckeyes. So I don't know. I don't know how it wraps up. I'm not saying that it won't come back around with Trey, but as of today, May 19th, I would say that he is, I would not have him in the Ohio State class as of today.
Would you have Dorian Brew in the class as of today?
No.
That's what I thought. Switching over real quick, offense. What about DeCorian Moore?
Would I have him in the Ohio State class? Are we now playing in or out?
This is just the last one. We're not playing. I'm just throwing a name at you.
I think it's much closer to in than anybody around the country is going to suggest, but I still think it's probably out, but I think it is really silly to bet against Brian Hartline. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm with you. You mentioned seeing Nolan Davenport this week. It seems like you were traveling everywhere this week. You travel a lot every week, but this week was especially lots of miles. What else were some takeaways that you saw? I know you saw some of the 2026 guys in Ohio State's offensive line class, the state of Ohio's 2026 offensive line class is setting up to be pretty special. So just any other big takeaways from the road?
I love Toledo Central Catholic cornerback Vic Singleton in the class of 2026. He's still about 165 pounds, needs to keep working on his weight and his academics to make sure that he has a spot in the Ohio State class. So I think that that's where maybe you're seeing the Buckeyes be a little slower there. Saw Albert Hill at Akron Hoban. He is everything that you want in a corner, and the Buckeyes are extremely fortunate heading into the class of 2026 at corner to have Vic Singleton and Albert Hill in the state of Ohio, much like they were in 24 with Bryce West and Aaron Scott. And I think what you could see is an opportunity. And one thing that I really took away at Hoban is that Peyton Cook, who's a 2026 wide receiver for the Knights, he was playing cornerback, and it was like he played corner for 2 days. And I'm telling you, he might end up being a high level Big Ten corner. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Buckeyes end up and offering him a scholarship eventually as a cornerback and not as a wide receiver, which is where he worked out last summer. Loved him. Sam Greer at Akron Hoban, the offensive tackle, legitimate 6'8", 285, 290 pounds. Did not play a lot of football in the last 2 years because of injury, but he really looks like an elite offensive tackle. I loved his personality more so than I really anticipated in person, like very self-assured, very confident, bordering almost on like cocky and like trash talk. Like he's a dude. I think Will Conroy at center for Ohio. So if you start to shape up the 2026 offensive line class, and I feel like I would be more justified in predicting the five-man 2026 offensive line class, then I feel confident in the 2025 offensive line class. So I think you have, in 2026, you have Sam Greer at tackle. You have Max Riley at guard/tackle. You have Will Conroy from St. Ignatius at center. You have potentially either Deron Parks or Adam Guthrie from Ohio in the other guard spot. And then you have Champ Smith down in Florida, TJ Alford's teammate at the other. And I think you could be done with offensive line in that spot. Really good group. Ohio in the class of 2026 is loaded. There are a lot of really good players around the state, and I'm glad people are getting a chance to see them.
Yeah, it helps when you got all those guys in your backyard for sure. Yeah, I guess just anything else 2026 wise, anything to be on the lookout for. We've talked about quarterbacks for a while. Jared Curtis obviously is committed to Georgia. There's guys like Brady Schmeigel, Dia Bell, those types of guys. Who's the kid from Illinois? Jonas Williams. Jonas Williams. Not quarterback specific, but is there just anything 2026 wise to be on the lookout for? Any happenings that you envision, or just, I don't know, anything of note?
Tim Walton was in the South last week in Georgia and Florida. His like nephew is a really good player at Jacksonville Bowles High School, whose name is escaping me right now. Sorry, I feel bad that his name is escaping me. And I know this is terrible radio/podcasting when people are looking stuff up and then they're just rambling.
You said Jacksonville or Jacksonville High School in Georgia? Bowles
High School in Jacksonville. Okay. It's Simeon Caldwell, safety from Jacksonville. He visited Ohio State this spring. He'll camp this summer. A really good player. And there's the relationship with Tim Walton being the one recruiting him, plus he's related to him. Dorian Barney is a guy in Georgia who Ohio State really, really likes. And I'm not going to be entirely shocked if we see Barney make an early move to kind of be the face of the 2026 Ohio State defensive back class. He is a really good player, 6'1", 180 pounds, top five, top 10 corner, pretty much across the board. I don't know that there's any other school really in the mix for him right now. And I've heard some rumblings that he could be close to making a decision. So if he chooses a school soon, I wouldn't be shocked if it's Ohio State at all. And then, Jakeem Stewart, the big time number one ranked defensive lineman in the country in the class of 2026, some people's overall number one. The conversation about him reclassifying to 2025 is very real. But I don't know that it would happen until like November or December, similar to the way that it did with Sonny Styles. And so it's hard to project exactly how the defensive line class, defensive tackle class of 25 can really shape up until because of that. Like it's really up in the air as far as when that can happen. So But Larry Johnson was in the South, saw him, saw Malik Autry, saw Zion Hardy down there in Alabama. Ohio State will see Justin Hill on Tuesday with James Laurinaitis, Tim Walton, and Larry Johnson going to see him. So it's busy times, busy times. I'm glad we're getting a chance to get ready to head into summer and camp season, because that's my favorite time of the year. So
that Barney kid you mentioned, is there a did you say there's a connection with Ohio State there? Obviously, it's a Georgia cornerback, so that's not something that you see and get your hopes up highly on too often.
Yeah, he's visited twice. He's from Peachtree Ridge in Suwanee, Georgia, which is the same high school that Cameron Hayward's from, that Bradley Roby is from. So, like, there's Ohio State recruits the state of Georgia really well. He has a Georgia offer, obviously. I don't know if he was at the Georgia
scavenger hunt
on Saturday. So if he was, maybe the rumblings about a coming commitment will end up being for Georgia, but I don't know if he was there or not. So I guess that's something to look into as we wrap up this episode of Talking Stuff, because if he makes a decision soon, maybe it'll be Georgia if he was at Georgia on Saturday. But the conversation I've heard is that he's thinking about making a commitment, and unless something crazy happened with Georgia on Saturday, which I'm not ever going to rule out, like, I think it'll be Ohio State based on conversations I had with him after his spring game visit. So we'll see.
Cool. Yes, we will.
Yes, we will. Anything else, Andrew, on your mind?
Nope, nothing. I'm good.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Hopefully you can, you know, wrap up that appendix and take a little bit of a break. We appreciate you fine folks out there watching us this Sunday morning. Sorry for the delay through the week, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Real life gets in the way. I got a graduation party to get ready for, and it's going to take a lot of my time. So we're doing everything we can to be here for you, and we appreciate you being here for us. Thank you for watching. Please rate, review, subscribe. Turn on the notifications on YouTube, so when we do new shows, you automatically get made aware of it. And tell your friends if you like what we do. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.